Hello and welcome back to another episode of Into the 99, where we've got 99 cards because Commander's number one. I am one of your hosts, Daniel. I am joined with Brian, Slothy, and Sherman. Brian, how are you doing?
Oh, not bad at all. I took a page from Slothy's playbook and I took this week off, so it's been wonderfully relaxed.
Nice, that's not too bad. And Slothy, how have you been?
2 days for like nine? 9 days off? I think it's
great. That's not bad at all.
I'm pretty good. Tired today. How are you doing?
I'm good. You were out skating late.
Yeah. Didn't end up getting home till around 1:30 this morning.
I was brave man.
Yeah, we're talking. I'm a terrible Canadian. I can't ice skate. I don't like coffee or Tim Hortons. Like, what's going on with me, right? I like ice caps, but ice caps are slurpy. You know,
we're terrible Canadians. Can't skate. I don't even really like hockey.
I can name the Flames, I guess. Flames, Oilers. I almost said Toronto Raptors, but I'm tired, so we'll get that past me. Ah, yes, my favorite team, the Raptors. Sports ball, everyone.
Yeah.
Sports ball.
Yeah. I'm good. It was a long week for me, but then I did lots of cooking and cleaning stuff yesterday before I worked again and making butter and like try to make butter for the first time. Very easy. It's like the easiest thing I've ever done. If you have a nope, I have a KitchenAid.
Oh yeah, that's crazy.
You went to bed.
I got my wife a KitchenAid. Well, I didn't get my wife a KitchenAid. Money from our wedding got my wife a KitchenAid, and it's literally just throw cream in it. It's pretty delicious. Pretty good butter. Yeah, it was like the easiest thing I've ever done. It's literally just, I can't describe how simple it is. There must be more steps, but it was pretty good. And Sherman, how are you?
Okay, this part is rated sure. My butt hurts. I was on an exercise bike way too long because I started studying chess on it, getting distracted, and an hour and a half later, I'm messaging my girlfriend like, hey, I need help. I can't walk straight anymore because my butt is cramping up.
Legs don't work. Please send assistance.
I could say that I've never had my gluteus maximus spasm before.
Yeah, it was cramping up. Like I had my feet turned inwards because like I couldn't stand straight. So she had to help me up the stairs and stuff. And I'm like, an old man. I know I'm already old, but still.
When one of my little brothers was a personal trainer before Connor, we're at the gym and he's like, do you want to do century squats? And I said, sure, what's that? And he said, we're going to do 100 squats. Whatever weight you pick, the weight you have to keep. You can't go lower, but you can go higher. And he's like, and we're going to do 100 reps. And it doesn't matter. You can do them in one. You can do them in 20. You can do them whatever. So we both started around like the 300 kind of thing. And I was like, oh, this is light. I'm going to keep going. And I went up. And it got to a point that I was just doing like one, I had to take a break, one had to take a break. And I was like, okay, this was a great workout. Then I like went to get out of bed the next morning and I like stood and I just fell. I just crumpled, legs wouldn't hold me. Like it was like I was a paraplegic. I just crumpled to the ground. I was like, ah, it was horrible. And like it's, this was into my days off. So I at least had a few days to recover. But like I remember trying to go upstairs like that and it was the worst feeling. So yeah, the muscle fatigue is real. The exercise bike going for that long on it, you'd oof.
Yeah. I just got distracted, right? So I lost track of time. I wasn't paying attention. And, you know, like, I'm not going super hard, but normally I'm going, like, I don't go long or on a bike that long. So, but anyways, yeah. So that was the most eventful thing that happened to me during this week that I could mention.
There you go.
Nice smile, nice laugh, at least.
No, that's
we're all human. I do embarrassing things.
That's me every day. Me on the I got to get normal or that's me in my brain every day.
Oonga boonga.
It's just another quick side story. The license plate on my like work truck broke and they're just like, "Hey, can you put like a new one on?" I was like, "Yeah, I should be able to figure that out." They're like, yeah, just grab a wrench and stuff. First wrench, snap the bolt off. Second wrench, snap the other bolt off. I was like, well, this hasn't been great. So then I had to go get like the other guy to to come help me out with it. I couldn't figure out like how to find new bolts. He finds new bolts. I was like, oh, I could put them on. I just snapped part of the bumper, putting it on. So I have one mode. It's hammer.
Her righty tighty very quickly became righty loosey.
Yeah, exactly. It's the I make that joke all the time that it doesn't matter what tools I have. If it's something that can be fixed with a hammer, I'm your guy. If it's not, I'm not a wonderful mechanic.
Went toolbox.
Yeah, right. I think this is our first actual episode after New Year's. So Happy New Year's, everyone.
Yes, Happy New Year's.
Yeah.
Welcome to the year 2024.
Yeah, that's how many decks I'm going to build this year. No, I'm hoping everyone is enjoying their new year. I hope everyone had a good vacation. And if you didn't get a vacation, tell your work you need one. But other than that, Sherman. other than that, no, I just really hope that everyone's in for a good year. Mine's going to be looking pretty good so far. And we're starting it off with our first list. It's kind of, it's not a new commander, but it's not like it's from the Lord of the Rings commander from the scene boxes. And I just really like it. It has everything I like, which is enter the battlefield. I've said this many times. It ramps. It's gone into the battlefield. If this could blow up Brian's soul rings on ETB, this would be the card for me. This would be 100%, but it's only 98 for me. You know?
What was the disclaimer you gave us when you came in here?
Oh, yeah. Don't look at the price of my deck list. It's I have some dual lands in it because I got too excited. Got a little too antsy. So this deck, extreme budget deck. This is like 120, 130 bucks if you're reasonable with your land base. If you're reasonable, you don't have like a tropical island here, then we're looking pretty good. But I was going through, these were the lands I had. Yeah, it's just skip tropical island and savannah. Just add an extra forest and island and you're good. All you need. Oh yeah, this
or
is
even slow if some tap dual lands that come in.
Oh, I've got those in here. So this is a $1,191 deck. And my land section is 1,074 of the dollars. So do what you will with that. You could definitely make. I'll post a budget version. How about that? It's going to take me two clicks. I'm going to take the dual zone. That's it. Other than that, I think there's maybe a fetch or two in here that's not bad. Most of them aren't. Let's start with the commander. Then I'll go into the lands because there is a few actually important lands that aren't $1,000. So we'll start Galadriel, Light of Valinor is an amazing card from the scene box, and the scene is really cool, and I have all the cards from the scene box in it because I like a theme. So some of them are not the best fit in the deck style I went. This is a phenomenal elf commander. If you want to play like an insane elf ball, like it gets out of control quick, this isn't an elf deck though. But Galadriel is a 3/3 elf noble for 2 and then Bant, a green, a white, a blue. It has Alliance. Whenever another creature enters under your control, choose one that hasn't been chosen this turn. So before I even go on to that, this is non-token, and this is whenever it enters. So tokens can trigger this, and I can do this on other people's turns, which is great. My three options for my ETB are add triple green. That's a crazy enter the battlefield, first off. That's nuts. You land a war elf into triple green. That's wild. Its second is a Cather's Crusade. Put a 1/1 counter on each creature you control, because why not? And then the third is scry 2 and draw a card. So we've got the ability to hit whatever we want. We've got card draw on ETB, a double a lot of the time. Like that, you'll see a lot of these cards when they enter, you draw. This was a hard list to make. And again, this is a bunch of garbage cards. There is this very budget minus the lands, because they're not very good cards. But with those, in fairness, what card in Magic isn't good with any of those abilities stapled onto it? Right? Like,
I'm in awe right now. This is a wonderful. I'm gonna have to dabble.
Oh, it's all what the commander?
Yeah.
Oh, it's wicked. It's beautiful artwork too.
Yeah.
Like it's just it looks really good on the card. The card is so fun, but those abilities are shocking that they would print that on an ETB so simple to trigger.
We'll be right back.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off. The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out the Gaming Blender on all your favorite podcast platforms now.
Like, overall, for the price for this commander and what it does, in all honesty, this is a great commander for beginners, I say.
Yep.
Because, like, it's easy to remember the trigger, because it's like whenever a creature comes in, you know, it triggers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, really easy to remember. It has abilities that you can play around with, you know. So, and it's in really, really, really annoying, but beginner-friendly colors.
Yeah.
And green.
Well, that's green. Green is the simple brain color. That's why all my decks are green.
I just like the bonk people.
Yeah.
Fast meta to big creatures.
Like, there's so many ways to it. Like I said, I could probably build 8 or 9 versions of this deck. This was such a versatile commander. This was so fun to build around. So, like, I hope everyone likes my list. Like I said, I'm going to start right into our lands, because there's one or two that I really like. We have the Guild Gates. We have just a bunch of tapped duels, blah, 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 blah. There's one that's important to me, though. It is right at the bottom. This Vidugazi, any of the lands that are going to make you the ability to make tokens on another turn, is phenomenal, because I can create 3 green mana by a creature entering. So this turns into a 1 white mana ability cost-wise, like after paying it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Vidugazi, the city tree, taps to add for a colorless, and then 2-1 green, 1 white, tap to create a 1-1 green sapling. That's a pretty bonkers ability to be able to, you know, someone's doing the math, you swing in, everything's 1-1 bigger. Now, that's a very big difference. Or, again, just you use it as a... Yeah, exactly. Use it as a scry to draw. You use it as a mana ramp for green. There's a lot of cool stuff you can do with it. And a Reliquary Tower. This deck has the ability to draw a lot of cards.
Mm.
Yeah, that's pretty much all that's important. Most of the rest is, like, pretty plain. I do like the Mistveil Plains, but again, that's just a plains that lets you put your cards back in. I like to recycle my cards. Brian likes Sun and Moon for it. He gets it.
I still run this one too, in case anything does get in there. Like, what happens if my Wheel and Sun and Moon gets in there? And you get that back.
But that's what I mean. Short of that land, which I think is 35 cents, you can pretty much put whatever you want here. You're in green. You can color fix so easy. Let's get into our artifacts. Who wants to take the small artifact section away? I'll let you guys rotate through them. Yeah.
First one we got is Arcane Signet. 2 mana. You can tap it for 1 mana of any color in your commander's color identity.
Simple enough.
Yeah.
And then we have the Almighty Panharmonicon, 4 colorless. If an artifact or creature entering the battlefield causes a triggered ability of a permanent you control to trigger, that ability triggers an additional time. And, like, I was talking to Sherman before everyone else jumped in, how I was playing, like, my Brago deck with some of my new friends. And, like, I was able to have Panharmonicon and Mom out, and it quickly got out of hand. And now I'm just like, what could I do with Galadriel and Mom and Panharmonicon? It's just going to be madness.
Yeah. Any of those abilities doubled up is crazy.
Or tripled.
Yeah. I'll take the boring Sol Ring. We've got Sol Ring. You pay 1, you add 2. We get it. Sherman.
All right. Heregrim, Sword of Rohan. For 3 mana. This is also the Sword of Hearth and Home. Okay.
You have me scared there, because it didn't come over as that.
Equipment creature gets +2/+2 and has protection from green and from white. Whenever equipped, creature deals damage or combat damage to a player, exile up to 1 target creature you own. Then search your library for a basic land card. Put both cards onto the battlefield unless you can under your control. Then shuffle. It has a equip cost of 2.
Yeah, just the ability to blink is wicked.
Yeah.
I'm going to apologize, everyone that watches YouTube. I just got a bloody nose.
Stop hitting yourself, Brian.
Brian got so excited about the Panharmonicon.
Yeah, right? All the blood. So
he was just thinking about Elish Norn again.
Yeah. Elish Norn raising his blood pressure. It's good artwork, Brian. I know, but contain yourself. we'll jump down into my enchantments. Also, super, super small. This is another one from the set thing, Arboreal Alliance. X double green. When it enters, you create an XX green creature token. That's a great mana sink. Whenever you attack with one or more elves, populate, which is awesome.
And then we've got the Broker's Ascendancy. It costs Bant. At the beginning of your end step, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control and a loyalty counter on each planeswalker you can.
I honestly
kind of forgot about this card.
How do you not put that in, though, right? It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really good.
I also always forget about this card. It was so overlooked because that set was so weird.
Yeah.
Well, there was just so much. There was a lot of good stuff in New Capenna, right? So remembering all of the good stuff from New Capenna is pretty difficult. And yeah, exactly. I don't think any of us were super hype on the Broker's deck of all of the decks that were available.
I wasn't here when it came out.
I was much more into Cabaretti.
Yeah, exactly, right. But like,
I did get this one at foil, and I really enjoy how the frame of the card pops with the foiling.
Mm-hmm. That ability at end step is crazy. And it's,
I think I have it in my Atraxa.
That's exactly where it should be, Atraxa or Super Friends. It's very on theme with what we're doing. We've got 1/1 counters. You should put like creatures you control have trample cards in here. That's like a great win con, an overwhelming stampede. You'll notice all of those things are missing from this deck, but that's I would personally get that. Like you could also put in the it's not Simic Ascendancy. It might be Simic Ascendancy. Whatever it is, whenever you put a counter on creatures, if you have 10 or more, you win.
I think that is Simic Ascendancy.
It might be Simic Ascendancy. But that would also be another great win con because like you can trigger that in like a turn or two.
Yes, it is.
Okay, yeah. Simic Ascendancy would also be good. But instead...
You know another card that would be really good in here that wasn't in the artifact section? Strixhaven Stadium.
Always.
That is a good one, yeah, because you'd have a lot. Strixhaven Stadium is a great mana rock.
Sure is.
Yeah. Why don't you take this next one? This is my way around getting over the not having trample.
So the next one that we have here is Virtue of Knowledge.
No. You skipped one.
It's a card of summons, man.
Yeah.
Oh, we were talking about that one already. Sorry. So card of summons, 4/2 white. Creatures you control with a +1/+1 counter on them have base power and toughness 4/4, have flying, and are angels in addition to their other types. It's great evasion.
Secret angel deck. Yeah. A lot of people can't deal with flying, especially all your creatures suddenly having flying. Wonder would be great too.
Yeah.
But Brian,
type of imagination.
Yeah, right.
One of the guys, the Falcon, something Falconeer, where all creatures with a +1/+1 counter
have flying. Falconeer, yeah.
I was wild.
Yeah. Brian, take the next one too, because I think you'll like it too. So,
like I was mentioning before, it's Virtue of Knowledge, 4/2. But it does have the Vantress Vision, 1/1 instant adventure, copy target activated or triggered ability you control. You may choose new targets for the copy. And for the 4/1, it's if a permanent entering the battlefield causes a triggered ability of a permanent you control to trigger, that ability triggered an additional time. I forgot about this and it has to go into Brago.
Panharmonicon 2.
Well, it just came out on Wilds of Eldraine, so.
Yeah. I probably have one or two of them.
Oh, it's such a good card.
One card that I think would be really fun is the... the Court of Vantress?
Yep.
Every upkeep double a permanent or create a token copy of a artifact or enchantment, because being able to create another Panharmonicon or a Virtue of Knowledge would be hilarious.
If the EDH deck list was 500, I still would have had to cut cards from this deck. Like it was so difficult to like take things out because there's so much fun stuff to put in. Like a lot of what I put in is my table trash. And it's because I made a list of cards and I was like, I'm really excited to play all these. And that's like list one. So I went through all my cards that I have like out in boxes for building decks and stuff. And I was like, what ones do I have so I don't double buy them? And I just kept finding cards. I was like, no, this would be really good. I'm gonna use this instead. I'm gonna use this. And a lot of it is like uncommon garbage or cards you don't see a lot of. And it's really, really fun. Let's hit these. again, instant section is pretty sad too. This is all creatures. We're gasoline in this deck because I want to trigger that ability as much as I can, right? Why play the commander if you're not going to trigger this, right? So the first one, I love this card because I'm going to be able to pretty much in every game trigger my commander all three times on an opponent's turn for four mana. That's great. We've got Curious Herd, three and a green. Choose target opponent. You create X, 3/3 green beast tokens where X is the number of artifacts they control. The game is rife with treasures, rocks, everything like that. You're going to be able to hit three out of this. And if you look at this card as a, even if you target someone with three, right, so that you can trigger all your abilities, at four mana, you're going to get three mana back, 1/1 counter. So, you know, they're all going to be, it's going to be 3/4/4, so 12 power and a scry to draw a card at four mana. Great instant for the deck.
Yeah.
That card's fantastic.
I love Curious Herd. Yeah, it's really cool. You don't see it played very much, but it's like it's a really good, I like it because it forces the hand of like the treasure player a lot of the time, right? I target Brian. Brian has 80 treasures. Do you want me to have 83/3 beasts or what?
It responds, I sacrifice to make a whole bunch of mana.
But that's what I mean, right? So you can't stockpile. I'm going to go
this next card because I absolutely love it. I run it and I can understand why you want this in here. We have Ephemerate, which is 1 white, exile target creature you control, then return it to the battlefield under its opponent's control and has rebound.
That's a really good card. Well, especially when we have like our commander's ETB, even if nothing in the deck was ETB, and spoiler, most of it's ETB. We're triggering still a great, like we're just still getting a lot of value. Sherman, you want this next one? This is from the set box as well, like the scene.
The Galadriel's Dismissal for 1 white. He has kicker, 2 and a white. You may pay an additional 2 white as when you cast it. All right, so it can be up to 4 mana. Target creature phases out. If this spell was kicked, each creature target player controls phases out instead. Okay. That's pretty strong.
This card's insane.
That's really solid.
But like, phasing doesn't. When a creature phases back in, it doesn't trigger the ETB.
No, but this saves me from board wipe, like a mini Teferi's Protection.
Oh, okay.
But instead of running the Teferi's Protection as only defense, this is full offense. Brian's got a full untargetable field where he's got his Avis in, he's got 1,000 tokens for 4 mana, not anymore.
Brian's dead.
Right, like it's the ability to phase out and at instant speed phase people out. Someone tries to overwhelming stampede you or trying for the hordes you to get that phase out. Try again later. Hopefully you're holding another one. It's I really like this card. There was a lot of great cards printed in the scene boxes.
Yeah. This would be fantastic in a Nim phase out all their blockers. Oh.
Yeah, that's what I mean, right? That just
or even the King Oathbreaker it was, whatever, where like anytime your creature you control is a target of spell or ability, that creature phases out and you get like a 1/1.
Yeah, you get your spirit.
Yeah, so this would work because like it phases out, like your stuff phases out, and then you create a bunch of like 1/1s.
This one, I would really like, I'd love a lot of copies of this. This is a card I'd love to run more of. Sloth the Honor, and plus it's so on theme. It's the Galadriel's Dismissal. I'm dismissing them to the afterlife. You trash talk me, bye bye. Be gone. I grow weary of your shenanigans.
The next one we've got is Ghostly Flicker, 2 and a blue. Exile 2 target artifacts, creatures, and or lands you control, then return them to the battlefield under your control.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Brian?
This card is new. I haven't seen it before. Harmonic Convergence, 2 and a green. Return all enchantments to the top of its owner's library.
I can assure you, Brian, this card is not new.
It's new to Brian.
Just looking at it.
It's enchantment meta's getting out of control. I basically now in every one of these decks run a blanket wreck enchantments card.
Jokes on you, I barely play enchantments anymore.
Good. I play, but I still see like people like Dean stuff who have like a whole board of it and stuff. So if Dean doesn't have a counterspell, it's putting them all back. I really like this instant and it's pretty artwork. We have a naturalize. Just a nice, simple, easy 1 in the green, destroy target artifact or enchantment. Gotta have at least one of those cards in there.
I really enjoy the artwork of the sword turning into the like the spruce tree, or at least that's our Moxfield pops in for you.
Mm-hmm. Someone finished these last two up here.
Get them real fast. Okay, so we have scroll shift, two in a white. Exile up to one target artifact, creature, or enchantment you control. Then return it to the battlefield under its owner's control. You also draw a card. And then we also have Slip on the Ring, one in the white. Exile target creature you own, then return it to the battlefield under your control. The ring tempts you.
I have to find this card too.
This was a common in the Lord of the Rings set. It's really good. Like it for a lot of reasons. Number one, it's already blinking, which is what I want to do. I want the blink. But it's the exile target creature you own. Someone takes my thing. Okay. You know, you don't have to control it. It's just something you own. Mm-hmm. And then obviously you get the ring tempts you mechanic, but meh.
Surprised you didn't put this in your Alun deck.
The Alun deck would have. It was in version one, yeah. And then we'll finish up with our sorceries, and then let's get into the real meat and potatoes here. We start with Circuitous Route, three and a green. Search your library for up to two basic lands and or gates, put them on tap, shuffle. Of course, easy.
Then we've got Cultivate, two and a green. Search your library for two basic lands, reveal them, put one on the battlefield, tap the other into your hand, and then shuffle.
I love the flavor text on the new Cultivate. It's so cool. The all seeds share a common bond, calling to each other across infinity. Oh, I love it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's pretty good flavor text.
Yeah, the Ixalan.
The next card we have is Explosive Vegetation or Explosive Vegetables. Three and a green. Search your library for up to two basic land cards and put them onto the battlefield. Tapped, and then shuffle your library.
After that, we have Growth Spasm. Two and a green. Search your library for a basic land card. Put it on the battlefield. Tap, then shuffle. Create a 0/1 colorless Eldrazi spawn creature token. It has sacrifice this creature, add one colorless.
I like that this turns this into a mana of positive spell, because I can pay it for three, get three back, then sack it and have four. I love it. We've got a Kodama's Reach. I really like to ramp, if you guys have never listened to that show. Two and a green. A new year, same me. Search your library for up to two basic land cards, reveal those cards, pull one onto the battlefield tapped and the other into your hand, then you shuffle.
Then we've got Mists of Lorien, two and a blue. It's got Replicate for a blue. Return target non-land permanent and each other non-land permanent with the same mana value as that permanent to their owner's hand.
Ooh.
Absolute that's from monster.
The,
yeah.
The one from the
scene, yeah. The frame. And then the next one is the last one of them, I think. Or no, that maybe one more, but. But again, that's a crazy card.
Yeah, I like the Replicate.
It's nice to like hose treasures down with it and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, a lot of stuff that I keep doing right now is to try force treasures or deal with mass enchantments, right? Because I don't really run a reasonable number of removal is what I'd like to call it. And then someone take the last one.
Now we got Rally the Galadhrim. Two green and a blue sorcery. Create a token that's a copy of target creature you control, and you can conspire. As you cast the spell, you may tap two untapped creatures you control that share a color with it. When you do, copy it, and you may choose a new target for the copy.
It's pretty good.
Oh. Wow,
I like that. I'm a fan.
Who wouldn't?
Cheap card too.
Again, it's the getting this box of these cards. Like, this is like, you don't have to crack for these. They're in a scene box. Like, the box is like $40, maybe $45, and it comes with three packs.
Three packs and the sets?
Yeah, three packs and the scene, yes.
Okay. That's not bad value, actually.
And all of the scene cards. So, you get a foil version of all the scene cards, and then you get a full art version of the scene cards, so you can still put them up in the scene.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. They make a big, like, panorama.
Cool.
All right, now let's get into the heat. We start with creatures. This section, 44 creatures, $54. Easy peasy. Let's get into it with Aetherlyn.
I was amazing when I saw 44 creatures. I was like, this is them doing what I typically do.
Yeah, right. So we've got Aetherlyn. You'll love this. I guarantee you'll want to build a Galadriel deck. It's so fun, Brian. We've got Aetherlyn. Four double blue.
Said you read the card to me. It's already done.
you've made the sale, old man. So we've got this Aetherlyn to start it off. 4 double blue for a 4/5 shapeshifter, and we don't really care about anything except this first ability. 1 blue, exile Aetherlyn, return to the battlefield under its owner's control at the beginning of the next end step. So just the ability to blink in and constantly use this as a 1 mana draw spell is so good. We can also make it unblockable for a blue, pay 1, it gets +1/-1, or -1/+1. Either or. The ability, though, just to blink at that 1 blue mana is, it's crucial to this deck, right? To be able to, even going around, that's going to buff everything 4 mana with 4 blue, or 4 1/1 counters with 1 blue every turn it goes around. Or we're scrying 8, drawing 4. Like, you can really, really dig with this. I love Aetherlyn. It's a monster in the deck.
Then we've got our Avacyn's Pilgrim. Single green for a 1/1 human monk. You can tap it to add white.
Such a good staple to have in a band deck. The next one that we have is Biowaste Blob. 2/2 green. It's a creature ooze. Ooze creatures you control get +1/+1. And at the beginning of your upkeep, if you control a commander, create a token that's a copy of Biowaste Blob, and it's a 0/0.
I like it. Get out of hand quickly.
Yeah, real fast.
Ooh.
Now imagine if it had Evolve on it.
What did you say, Ryan?
So now imagine if it had Evolve on it.
Evolve is a good keyword. Maybe one day they'll bring it back.
I want it so bad. I think it would be great. This card here.
Take it away, Sherman.
All right. We have Cloud of Fairies. 1/1. Okay, 1/1 flyer, where when Cloud of Fairies enters the battlefield, untap up to 2 lands and has cycle for 2. One of my favorite cards for anything with enter the battlefield triggers.
Yeah.
So,
well, just the
Panharmonicon, I play this, I untap 4 lands.
Well, and if you choose the green, you untap 4 lands and add 6 green.
It's fantastic.
You turn 2 mana into 10 mana, which really, really messes with threat assessment. A Palancron would be great in this deck, too, or Shrieking Drake, those kind of things.
When I was kind of looking, I was like, the White Lion, the Shrieking Drake. There's a couple other ones that bounce themselves when you come in.
Again, it was so hard to make this deck like fit in the confines. We have 32 lands and then 1 creature that's a flip land. Like, we're cutting it as close as we can.
But I have to say, like, I really enjoy it because, again, you're using cards that aren't typically seeing a lot of play. Like, again, you're introducing me to new cards, so I'm not going to be angry with this list at all. You're not using the staples like a plub like me is using. Smothering Tithe. Oh, Heuristic Study. Excellent, excellent. We are off to a good start with this deck.
They're good for a reason. Someone want my Crafty Cut Purse?
Yeah, I'll take it real fast. I use Crafty Cut Purse quite a bit. So Crafty Cut Purse is 3/3, the Human Pirate 2/2 with flash. That's the key here. It has flash. When Crafty Cut Purse enters the battlefield, each token that would be created under an opponent's control this turn is created under your control instead. I use this in Ovar like crazy, and people hated it. And especially with the environment now with all the treasures and all that stuff, you just basically steal every single treasure.
Can you imagine you think you're getting such a cheeky old dockside off, you're going to ramp silly, and then I just Crafty Cut Purse it and then still trigger my commander with it?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Or you have someone with Smothering Tide and they're like, ah, ha ha, like windfall, everybody. It's like, okay, Crafty Cut Purse.
21. It's like,
oh.
21.
Yeah, I take your treasures and a draw.
Yeah.
The favorite thing in this card to me is the flavor text.
I like it too.
Possession is 11/10 of the pirate code.
Preach.
Oh, that's too funny. I love it.
The next one we've got here is Delighted Halfling, single green for a 1/2 halfling citizen. You can tap it for colorless, or you can tap it to add 1 mana of any color. Spend this mana to cast a legendary spell, and that spell can't be countered.
They ruined her. They ruined her in the new magic set.
The card?
The new dark little artwork around it looks terrible. It was absolute trash. Eesh.
I haven't seen one. The one I have is like the celebration, like the full art one where they've got like the cake and the mead.
Mm. Yeah. The new ones that they came out with, like the Christmas set, has like kind of like a darker kind of frame to it. And I saw one in person at Phoenix.
Oh, and it just looks poor.
Yeah. Ooh. But
oh, you're talking about the one that has just the one little halfling girl on it.
Yeah, yeah, just like the kind of normal artwork, but it has the different border or flame for the card.
Yeah. The fun thing about this is actually, I was going to put this in the deck anyways. The commander's going to, people are going to want to counter it, and it's good ramp regardless. But I had one pulled. I got the pack. Connor dropped it off, like the box, and I opened the packs, and I got one of these in the pack.
There you go.
Absolute fire pulls. Yeah, they were pretty good. We have also Dwinin's Elite, one and a green for a 2/2. When Dwinin's Elite enters, if you control another elf, create a 1/1 green elf warrior creature token.
Oh, call one, call them all.
Yeah, again, turning that 2 mana into, again, like your mana positive on it if you choose mana, or you're bringing in a 3/3 and a 2/2 at 2 mana. That's crazy. A draw card. It's a lot. It's a beast card.
So I haven't even seen this one. It's from Jumpstart, looks like.
No, it's from Commander Legends.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Next card, too, is also a monster in the deck. Sherman, you want this one?
Yeah, it's a Elegeth Crossroads Augur. 4 blue-blue. Legendary creature Sphinx. Okay, it's 5/6. Flying. This is the cool part. If you would scry a number of cards, draw that many cards instead. And it does have partner. Okay, so with your commander, you scry 2, so you're drawing that, plus you draw another card. So you're drawing 3 cards once every single time a creature comes in.
That's good.
Yeah. A creature, like, as a commander, is fun.
Yeah.
So
Elegeth is a really cool commander option.
Plus scry, so that could be I could see that being a really fun deck. The next card we have is Elrond, Lord of Rivendell, 2 and a blue, legendary creature, elf noble. Whenever Elrond, Lord of Rivendell, or another creature enters the battlefield under your control, scry 1. Seems real good. Draw 1. If this is the second time this ability has resolved this turn, the ring tempts you.
Turning things into a scry 3 draw card is really easy to dig for what you want. I'll take the boring one. I've got the Elvish Mystic. 1 mana for a elf druid. Taps for green. It's a 1/1. Slothy, please.
Sure. We've got Fairy Artisans. Is 3 and a blue for a 2/2 fairy artificer with flying. Whenever any non-token creature enters the battlefield under an opponent's control, create a token that's a copy of that creature, except it is an artifact in addition to its other types. Then exile all of the tokens created with Fairy Artisans.
That's a great card. That's a great card.
Mm-hmm. Absolute heat.
Your opponents are fueling you.
Every time they bring things in, you're really getting a lot. And that's this is gonna panharmonic on trigger. This is oh it's good.
Oh wow.
The price drop on Fairy Artisans was insane. It was an expensive card for a while, then it got its reprint finally. Because it was only Commander 2016, right? So they weren't around. They were like $15-$20.
Okay. I'm surprised it dropped from $15 to $20 down to 59 cents.
Well, they put it pre-con. So it was a pre-con one. Then they put it in both the list and also in Commander Masters. So like 2 reprints within a year. And at rare, like it's such a monster card too, right? Because even playing it, we're able to basically, at the end of paying our cost, we're able to get this out for essentially what is 1 blue mana.
Yep.
And then every turn, if you play anything, you just fuel me. And your ETBs become my ETBs. I start playing the Turgrid song. The Russian national anthem is the Turgrid song now.
I could see it.
Yeah.
We need an artist to commission Turgrid's face onto Stalin.
True.
Give him a stash too.
No. No.
Brian, you want this next one here?
We have Faramir, Prince of Ithilien, 2 and a white and a blue, legendary creature, human noble. At the beginning of your end step, choose an opponent. At the beginning of that player's next end step, you draw a card if they didn't attack you that turn. Otherwise, create 3 1/1 white human soldier creature tokens, 3/3.
Yeah,
I really like this plan. I'm surprised I don't run them.
They're not attacking you if you're getting three and you're triggering all abilities of your commander. They're leaving you alone.
Yeah, including drawing anyway.
Yeah. You're just going to let me have my one draw. This is like a keep people away from me card. And they're going to enter as 2/2s, like, because I get three creatures. It's going to trigger that 1/1 counter on everything. Mm-hmm. A hardened scales would have been a monster card in this deck, too.
Yeah.
Any of those things, like I had a theme. The theme was creatures. Brian, take this one, too.
Surely did it. It's great.
The theme was bonk.
Oh, dibs. X card.
That's
dibs.
What I said. Yeah, Brian, take it, too.
This one, the whatever printing of it, I think it's like the special dated one, is by far my favorite art in all of Magic. But we got Fathom Mage here. I just love it. It's when I really first started playing Magic. 2 green and a blue human wizard evolve. Whenever a +1/+1 counter is placed on Fathom Mage, you may draw a card. And it's a 1/1. It can just go mad, and you can draw so many cards, especially if you're having like the Cathars Crusade like ability trigger multiple times. Mm-hmm. Just, so I love it. She's just been one of my favorite. I don't really run her in like the last deck that I probably ran her in is Tulane.
Now you found a home. I like that one a lot. The next one as well is a card you don't see played very often, and I really like this one. Brian talks all the time about wanting different and new creature types, so this one hits those boxes. We've got First Responder, 3 and a green for an Ogre Citizen, 3/3. Has vigilance.
Where are ogres? That's like a huge fantasy creature. Where are they? Come on now.
So we've got vigilance. At the beginning of your end step, you may return another creature you control to its owner's hand, then put a number of 1/1 counters equal to that creature's power on First Responder. Just the ability to get my Crafty Cut Purse back, some of these other flash cards back, or any just good ETB at the end of every turn. I've constantly got a new card to cast from hand, and to be honest, that's going to make this card huge.
After that, yeah, we have your nice classic Finhorn Elves for a green. It's 1/1. You tap to add a green mana.
What's that say, Brian? I couldn't see it.
Print more minority races.
Wow.
Cavus, please. Cavus, please.
Yes, worms, cavus, more ogres. This guy's lonely.
All right, well, what are we on here?
We'll do an episode on that.
Of cards that need more, yeah. I really liked doing the one before about like types that needed new commanders, like angels, that kind of stuff. That's good. I like that. Okay, yeah, so who's doing the Galadrim Brigade?
Why don't you do this one?
Sure. Galadrim Brigade. Yeah, Brigade. 2 and a green, 2/2 elf soldier with squad. Squad is 1 and a green. As an additional cost to cast, I can pay it any number of times. When it enters the battlefield, create that many tokens that are copies of it. Other elves you control get 1/1. Possibly one of the best elf cards ever printed.
I would probably yell squad up every time I play it.
Yeah, like in a raw elf deck, like where you already have your like Priest of Titania, all that kind of stuff where it's going crazy. Just the ability to make that many elves is phenomenal, but that many elf anthems, it's insane.
Mm-hmm. Then we've got Galadriel of Lothlorien, 1 green and a blue for a 3/3 legendary elf noble. Whenever the ring tempts, if you chose a creature other than Galadriel of Lothlorien as your ring bearer, scry 3. Whenever you scry, you may reveal the top card of your library. If a land card is revealed this way, put it on the battlefield tapped.
Oh, buddy.
Monster card. And I did look at the rulings. It says that you do that after scrying and reorganizing.
Seriously?
Yep. That is the gathering ruling on this card, is that you scry, reorganize, and then reveal.
Okay, I need to make this as a commander now.
Insane, right?
This is insane.
Let me double check this. Make sure that I'm not I didn't see this in a fever dream.
Oh. just like the other on the shorts.
Ooh, people don't like when I'm wrong with a rule, I'll tell you that.
That happens. It happens to everyone. People need to calm down.
This is the ruling here. You finish scrying before revealing the top card of your library.
Nice.
It's crazy.
Oh, I need to make a deck out of you.
It's such an insane ramp ability, right?
Like I love top deck manipulation. This is oh man, and you're in green and blue. Oh, I can play on my home deck without cheating. Okay, anyways, we need to move on. Let's move on here. But that is a strong card. That's neat rule. All right. Gale Powder Mage is the next card for 3 and a white. It's a Kithkin Wizard. It's 3/3, flying. Whenever Gale Powder Mage attacks, exile another target creature. Return that card to the battlefield under its owner's control at the beginning of the next end step.
Is it riding like a chicken with jugs? Or is that a robot with just chicken feet and wings?
We don't like to objectify chickens here, Brian.
Just like, it's such a weird artwork. It's fantastic. Yeah. I love it.
It is a strange artwork for sure.
Like, I'm just like, is it a robot or is it an actual bird? Like,
I don't know. I don't know what this thing is. I like the offense and defense on this.
Yeah, and actually, I'll let you take it because as soon as I saw it, I knew it was going to be a card that you would probably want.
Oh, no. I mean on the Gale Powder, just the ability to blink my own stuff or to blink their stuff. You can take the next one if you'd like.
Oh, so the next one here that we have is Gilraine, Dundian Protector, 2 and a white, legendary creature, human noble. It's a 2/3. You may pay to attack it and exile another target creature you control. You may return that card to the battlefield under its owner's control. If you don't, at the beginning of the next end step, return that card to the battlefield under its owner's control with a vigilance counter and a lifelink counter on it.
I really like that. A delayed blink or a fast blink.
Yep. And if you delay it, you get lifelink and vigilance. Oof.
I'm going to take the next one. It's one of the funniest artworks I've ever seen, and I love it so much. Inga and Asika, the Rainbow Cat Chariot. We've got, it's so fun. 2/1 green, 1 blue, 4/4 human god. Creatures you control have vigilance and tap to add 1 mana of any color. Spend it only for creature spells. Who cares? This deck is all creatures, right? And whenever you cast a spell, if 3 or more mana from creatures was spent to cast it, you draw a card. This is, it's everything we want. It's insane ramp. It's giving us even more draw on this deck.
I understand the 32 lands now.
Yeah, right?
This is exactly how I would build it too. I love using creatures. The next card we have is Aspiring Overseer. 2 and a white, creature, angel, cleric, 2/1, flying. When Aspiring Overseer enters the battlefield, you gain 1 life and draw a card. So much card draw on this deck. G1 Sherbet's probably so happy with you right now, Dan.
I love a good card draw in the command zone.
Yeah. The next one we've got is Jungleborn Pioneer. 2 and a green for a 2/2 merfolk scout. When it enters the battlefield, create a 1/1 blue merfolk creature token with hexproof.
Fantastic.
2 creatures for free.
I love it.
Nice.
There's so much. And especially like it's you get your free creature and you draw into a potentially other creature. And our creatures aren't expensive to cast.
No.
I'm liking the curve. I'm really enjoying the curve. This seems like a very playable deck.
Oh, it's like I said, I've only played, I got 1 webcam game in with it so far. And it just played very, very well. It was a really, really fun time to play. I was making people laugh with my table trash. Sherman, you want this next one?
Yeah, the next one is we have Knight of Autumn, 1 green, white. So it's a 2/1 Dryad Knight. And whenever the Knight of Autumn enters the battlefield, choose one. You can either put 2/1/1 counters on Knight of Autumn, or you can destroy target artifact or enchantment, or you can gain 4 life.
The fact that you can, if you just trigger your Cather's Crusade thing with this, for 3 mana, you're, it's coming down as, what's that, a 4/3?
And
five, then, yeah, five, so four. A 5/4 at 3 mana is a beefy creature. Mm-hmm. Real beefy.
And most of when you get a creature for that, a creature that size for that cheap, it usually always have some sort of downside. Like you can't attack for the first 3 rounds or something like that.
Yeah, right. Like you don't usually get such a insane payoff. Where is our next one? I'll tell you, Atlanta War Elf. Easy. Of course, it's in the deck. It's not an elf deck, but I mean, come on. 1 green, elf druid. 1 green, you tap, add 1/1.
Then we have our Land of War Visionary, 2 and a green. When Land of War Visionary enters the battlefield, draw a card, and you can tap them to add 1 green mana to your mana pool, and it's a 2/2.
I really like these 3 mana creatures that pay for themselves on enter.
Then we've got Mage's Attendant, 2 and a white for a 3/2 cat rogue. When it enters the battlefield, create a 1/1 blue wizard creature token with pay 1, sacrifices creature, counter target non-creature spell unless its controller pays 1.
That's so awesome.
Such a cool
one. I like to hear some of like the ideas that went into cards. So we got a Mage's, never mind, the name actually says it.
You get it.
I'm being dumb. I'm like, how is this cat rogue magically manifesting wizards?
You understand now.
Need more caffeine.
I really like this card. This is a card I've been putting in decks more and more for my like higher power stuff because I just enjoy it. We've got this Merfolk Trickster, a double blue. Merfolk Wizard, 2/2 with flash. When it enters, tap target creature and opponent controls. It loses all abilities until end of turn.
Nice.
Solid. If you have multiple triggers of it, that's funny.
Yeah. Losing the abilities on your thing like is pretty rough. If you have like a commander that matters, like this deck, for instance, right? Losing those abilities for the turn it's wasted my whole turn. Otherwise, I'm just playing Llanowar, Elves, pass, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Playing creatures.
You're turning off my draw, you're turning off my counters, like you're really hosing me if you can take my abilities away.
The only thing that I'm surprised that I haven't seen yet is something that gives you the ability to cast flash speed.
Like I said, didn't have room. Yiva would be really good in this deck. Any of the like Guardian Project again, I could build this deck at 500 cards and still not be satisfied with everything that was in it. I'll probably make a few versions. Yeah.
Like we have creatures that have flash, like the next one here, you know, so it kind of balances out a little bit. So we have Mystic Snake. This is 1 green blue is a 2/2 snake flash. When Mystic Snake enters the battlefield, counter target spell. So he has stuff that's coming in. It has flash, you know, like this Crafty Cut Purse, things like that. So he kind of doesn't need flash because he kind of has it, but at the same time.
Again, the flavor text. Its fangs are in your flesh before its hiss leaves your ears.
This next one I really like too, Nest Invader. It's another one of those 2-mana huge payoff cards. 1 and a green for a 2/2 Eldrazi drone. When it enters, create a 0/1 colorless Eldrazi spawn with sack to add mana. So another like over mana positive. Like we're going to be 2-mana higher than when we casted it.
Mm-hmm. Seeing how this all just pays off is amazing with this commander. I'm really enjoying it.
The next one we've got is Neon B, Esteemed Speaker. White and blue for a 2/1 legendary human cleric with flash. When it enters the battlefield, you may return another target creature you control to its owner's hand. If you do, you gain life equal to that creature's mana value. And you can pay 1 blue and a white to tap it and discard a legendary card to draw 2 cards.
To be honest, we're always using it to blink.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe that.
The next one we have is OG, the Exquisite Blade, 2 white blue legendary creature, human monk. When OG, the Exquisite Blade, enters the battlefield, you gain 2 life and scry 2. But all I'm seeing is draw 2 with the other card above. Whenever you cast your second spell each turn, exile up to 1 target creature you control, then return to the battlefield under its owner's control. I haven't seen this one either. This is fantastic.
Yeah, because again, like we're drawing so deep. We're going to hit other spells, right? Like we're not short of like losing our commander to some effect that has made it untargetable so we can't blink it and stuff. Like we're going to be drawing cards. So this is going to like casting 2 spells a turn is what we want to do. We want to trigger that 3 times a turn, ideally.
Or more if you can blink your commander and have it come back in.
Yeah, right. I like this one as well. This is another one with another flash card. Overcharged Amalgam, 2/2 blue, 3/3 zombie horror, flash flying exploit. When it enters, you can sack a creature. When Overcharged Amalgam exploits a creature, counter target spell, activated ability, or triggered ability.
Nice. Solid.
And exploit is an ETB. You can get 2 triggers off that.
Hey, I need this card for my Henry Wu deck.
Yeah, right.
And it can exploit itself, too.
I never remember that. It can definitely expect. It's not another creature. You are right. It can absolutely just do its like job of countering and activated or triggered and throw itself to the grave.
Yeah. People forget that. So it's just one of those things.
I forget that all the time.
Like how to play Flash.
Well, with this deck, you'll learn how to play with Flash.
Yeah, that's true.
The next card we have is Plexcaster Frogling. 1 green blue. Frog Mutant 00. It has Graft 3. So it enters the battlefield with 3+1+1 counters on it. Whenever another creature enters the battlefield, you may move a 1-1 counter from this creature onto it. So, and then it has the ability for 2 mana. Target creature with a 1-1 counter on it gains Shroud until end of turn. This is fantastic. Fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Really, really good protection.
Then we've got Preening Champion. 2 and blue for a 2-2 Bird Knight with flying. When it enters the battlefield, create a 1-1 blue and red elemental creature token.
It had to be a peacock too, which is great. Love it.
I love it.
Obviously, you got this one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Reclamation Sage, 2 and a green. When a Reclamation Sage enters the battlefield, you may destroy target artifact or enchantment, 2-1. I get my mana back, and I nuke a couple things.
You're getting free destroys, right? We also have our Rishkard Pima Renegade, 2 and a green for a 2-2 Elf Druid. When Rishkar enters the battlefield, put a 1-1 counter on each of up to 2 target creatures. Again, great. We're in a counter theme. Each creature you control with a counter on it has tapped at a green. That's great. That turns everything we have into a mana dork from the get-go.
I'm really digging this deck list so far.
Like I said, it's so fun to play. It was so hard to... I had such a different deck list, and then I was just going through, and then, like I said, I picked up things like Preening Champion. I was like, well, that'd actually be pretty good. It's 3 mana to trigger it twice, and one of the abilities is 3 mana. I was like, so I'm basically for free casting this and still getting another ability. Like, for free, I'm getting... Let's say that I want my mana. I'm getting that and a draw and, like, 3 power, or... I'm getting 4 power, 5 power, and my mana back. Like, the deck with just these not good cards does it. And it's low powered, but it functions with itself pretty good. Like, you could definitely, there's better ETB cards for sure. Like, you can build a better deck than this. Can you put in more expensive lands? Probably not. But but other than that, I might even take those lands out. Like, I don't think I need it with how much draw I have. I just had a stack of lands, and I had just taken apart a deck that had some duels in it. So I was like, ooh, these would be nice here.
I just like that we're not even finished the creatures, but your creatures make up for where, like, you don't have, like, all your counters or, like, removal and stuff like that. So being able to get 2 to 3 triggers off of just a single creature that basically is going to be for free. It's fantastic.
Well, and I really like all the abilities, right? I think all these creatures kind of play into the abilities a little bit. Some like the Biowaste Blob. I like to flood the board a little bit, right? So Avenger of Zendikar would have been a great card in this deck because you're going to insta-proc. You can ramp out to those big creatures no problem at all. But
what's someone that makes Sapperlings every upkeep?
Oh, Verdant Force? Oh, it's in the deck. So is Tendershoot. Tendershoot Dryad isn't, but
yeah,
but it should be.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, Tendershoot. I need another one.
Yeah, I can never find him. That's why it's not in this deck. But yeah, Slothy, take this next one. I think you guys will like this one too.
We're at the Rumor Gatherer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we got Rumor Gatherer, 1/1, 2/1 Elf Wizard. It has Alliance. Whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, scry 1. If it's the second time this ability is resolved this turn, draw a card instead.
The itty bitty elephant.
Look at the itty bitty bear beside it.
Yeah.
It hurts
a little draft as well.
It hurts to see other people live your dreams.
Where's the Canadian house hippo?
This elf is actually normal sized. It's just Kalen. Or the giraffe's normal size. The elf's Kalen.
That's
Sherman.
Then
yes.
Right. We got Samwise the Stout Hearted, 1 and a white, legendary creature, halfling peasant. It's a 2/1 flash. Once again, with flash. When Samwise the Stout-Hearted enters the battlefield, choose up to 1 target permanent card in your graveyard that was put there from battlefield this turn. Return it to your hand. Then the ring tempts you. I like this card. I like it. So if someone destroys something, okay, I'll just bring it back.
There's a lot of great reanimation cards that came out of the Lord of the Rings set.
Lord of the Rings set brought a ton of crazy cards. But Brian, take the next one, please.
We got Silverback Elder, 2 and 3 green, Ape Shaman. Whenever you cast a creature spell, choose 1, destroy target artifact or enchantment. I don't like that. Look at the top 5 cards of your library. You may put a land card from among them onto the battlefield, put the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order, and you gain 4 life, and it's a 5/7. There's so much going on here.
damn every time you cast a.
This was printed before the days of restrictions.
This can only trigger once each turn.
Yeah, no, you can just trigger this whenever you want. A lot, like, this card's a monster card for sure. And to be honest, if I cast like a Lana War Elf, I just need two other mana to cast it.
True.
Huge. We have a spark double because you'd be insane to not put a spark double in. I always say that there's like, oh, you know, no right or wrong way, but come on, your commander's got it's all gasoline. Spark double Sakashima if you have one around, but at least a spark double. Three and a blue. It's $4. You need it. Three and a blue. You have a 0/0 illusion. You can have it enter as a copy of a creature or planeswalker you control, except it enters with an additional 1/1 counter on if it's creature or extra loyalty counter. But we don't care about that. We care about making Galadriel 2.
Galadriel.
Yeah, because again, this is essentially in this deck, this is functioning as a pseudo Panharmonicon for us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair.
Same mana and everything. I love it. Because, yeah, the ability to, you know, now I'm turning my, I cast an Avacyn's Pilgrim. I go up 6 mana. I scry 4, draw 2. I 2/1/1s on everything. It's crazy. Like, the math gets pretty out of control if you get a second one of these out. I'm going to take this one, too, because I love this card. I've got a print of it over on my wall over there. Tangled Floral Hedron is 1 and a green for an elemental 1/1 that taps to add 1 mana. With what I think is possibly some of the coolest art in Magic, just like the Hedrons reclaimed by nature. I just love it. And then the backside is Tangled Veil, which is, again, Hedrons in nature. Enters tapped, adds a green. We have 33 lands. You've got to trust me. I can build decks. Please. Please believe me.
Then we've got Teemer Sabertooth, 2 double green for a 4/3 cap. 1 and a green. You may return another creature you control to its owner's hand. If you do, the Sabertooth gains indestructible until end of turn. It's a great way of getting more activations on your commander.
Yeah.
Well, or getting your, generally I'm using this to bring my flash cards back.
Oh, yeah.
My counters, my Samwise, my Crafty, that kind of stuff.
Mm. Oh, we finally hit your more interaction stuff.
Yeah.
We have Verdant Force, 5, and triple green. Elemental, 7/7. At the beginning of each upkeep, create a 1/1 green sapling creature token. There we go.
Tendershoot would be great as well. But yeah,
it's only 4.
Yeah, I think Tendershoot's like 5 mana. Like, it's cheaper to cast and better by a lot, but I have a lot of Verdant Forces. And again, hitting a 7 mana creature when you have a gain 3 mana ETB is not hard.
Take the last one there, Mr. Ban.
We've got Yorion Sky Nomad, a very annoying card, which I love so much. 3, and then we've got hybrid white blue, hybrid white blue. 4/5 Bird Serpent. It's got companion. The companion doesn't matter because your starting deck contains at least 20 cards more than the minimum deck. The only one who can trigger this in commander is me. We've got a flying 4/5. When Yorion enters the battlefield, exile any number of other non-land permanents you own and control. Return them to the battlefield at the beginning of the next end step.
Yep.
I like it.
Yorion's always a pain.
And Brago for just that reason.
Yeah, Yorion's a monster card. But yeah, that's my deck list. It's not, again, sans expensive lands, this is a very easy to put together deck. Like, if you don't run a Delighted Halfling, that's like 50. You could probably build this deck for $80, like probably $80 or $90 version of this deck is very easily available.
Yep.
I love commanders like this where there's so many different directions you can build that most of the time when, like, you know how it is when you sit down at a table and someone brings out a commander and you're like, oh, I know this is. When you see something like this, like, you kind of know what's going to happen, but at the same time, so many different play styles that you can come up with. This is a really, really good, unique, strong commander that I think everyone should try to build. And
yeah, I can, like, see that.
The way the direction you went is a very, very fun direction.
Mm-hmm.
It's you guys seem to like this one, so I'm glad about that. It's this was a really, really fun deck to put together, and like you said, there's so much things. It's a shame to me that I can't staple the Galadriel number 2 ability onto it. Because that Scry Then Reveal is such a cool ability. Like, I actually would love to see a deck from you with that.
Illegal partner pick.
Galadriel with Galadriel? My justification is they're both Galadriel?
Yeah, it's technically only one person.
This is future Galadriel, and this is past. I'm playing past and present, or past and future.
It's, yeah. No, like I said, this was the hardest part of this was just cutting other cards, right? Like, There was a lot I would have loved to put in this. Any of your like hero blade hold, hero of cat hold, swing, make two creatures things are great.
Like I really like white mane lion, stuff like that, just because it has the flash and I can just target itself, right? So like if I have open mana and we're on Slothy's turn, white mane lion, white mane lion, white mane lion, I trigger all three of the cost for six mana.
Again, basically a Chulain would be great in this too.
Yeah, Chulain would be really good in there because you're also getting the mana or the other draw and then the mana to the battlefield if you have one in hand. But just, yeah, there's so many different ways. Like, and then like the, like I mentioned, like Port of Vantress being able to make copies, like you don't even have Cathar's Crusade because it's stampled on your, or stamped on your commander. But if you even had that in there and were able to make more copies of it.
Well, you could definitely go as well, like more 1/1 counter themed, like with the hardened scales, the, like your typical Hydra staples kind of thing, right? Like your, like a doubling season would be great in this to keep those going. Any of those cards, you could definitely go more for it, and then you'd put in your normal like Abzan Falconer, those things that care. I really, really would have liked the new Kadama, the modified one, where whenever a modified creature deals damage, you get to go get a land, because your whole deck is creatures, right? They're all modified, like from the turn you trigger once. So that like new Kadama of the West or East or whatever tree, it's one of the trees. What am I, Columbus?
I love it because it's 44 creatures. I love creature decks. Yeah, one that sits there and spits spells like Sherman going left, right, and center. I like to be putting stuff onto the field that stays there. I like being able to be one of those guys with like a full board state, but board wipes really hurt me.
Like I like the fact that like this is very, very versatile, where like if you feel like changing something up, it's really easy, right? Because like let's say like you find you have way too much mana constantly, you're not casting your flash cards, then you can put in something like Ant Queen, where it's a mana sink, right?
And that's still great.
Creating creatures, and that's still triggering your commander. So like it's easy to change things up with this deck too, and still go with their theme, and I think it's fantastic for that.
Ant Queen would be phenomenal, because if you have three open mana, you can trigger all three of your abilities every turn.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
I'm also just looking here thinking Braggo would be fantastic in here.
Again, any of your I mentioned that, of course, I should have said, but obviously Mother of Machines, right? Like the Elish Norn. Yeah, that'd be great. Like, yeah, I know. Brian's packing over there.
Like, how many copies do you have?
Not enough.
It's such a good card.
Actually, I think I pulled five when I traded one in, but I need to find a home for her.
Oh, must be nice. There's a reason I don't have one in my deck.
Hey, I'll make a deal. You give me some of those Endless Waters and we'll chat.
Which ones?
Decanter of Endless Water.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be a lot of. Well, that would be Endless Water for you.
That would also be a good card.
Still thirsty. Yeah, Decanter of Endless Waters would be great. Like I said, you are going to draw a crazy amount. I didn't have any trouble. Again, it's hard to deck assess based on one game. It played great game one. We'll see. The next time I stream, I'm probably going to crack this bad boy out too. But no, it was just a really, really fun time to play this deck and to build this deck. I think this is one of the better designed commanders I've ever seen, just because of, like Sherman said, the versatility of how many directions you can go. And it's such a cheap commander.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
And it looks so good in the foil.
I'm looking at this artwork and I'm just like, the foil probably looks fantastic.
Oh, it pops everywhere. It's so good.
Everywhere, you should say.
This has been everywhere. The Galadriel has been like one of my Magic's been kind of pumping everything out lately. I've mentioned this a time or two, but this is the card that out of everything recently has grabbed my attention the hardest. I'm like, I have to build this. The moment I saw it, I was like, this is a deck I must build.
Mm-hmm. It kind of has you stapled all over it.
Well, and the same like Brian, who loves creatures, right? This is your creature deck.
Yeah.
This is by creatures for creatures.
There's one card in here that I'm surprised I don't see.
Which one's that?
Where's the Howling Mine?
There's no room for a Howling Mine. That's how you know I had difficulty cutting.
with a howling mine had a good cut.
Yeah. If I take the howling mine out, you know I've really struggled morally.
The dilemmas.
you could just go down to 31 lands.
I have 33. I'll have you know.
You could go down to 32 lands.
Yeah, there's a few. Like I said, just this was a really cool scene box. Like, if you have anyone in your...
I can't even tell you what to remove, by the way.
Right, that was the hard thing. Like, it's the... Maybe the Sword of Hearth and Home, because it's great, but, you know, we've already got a lot of it. But like, if I had to find 10 cards to cut from this, this would be difficult again, unless they were just, like, pure raw upgrades of, like, like, if I had something that was upgrading a Reclamation Sage, it would have to ETB destroy and do something.
Like, not even the expensive Sphinx, the guy that turns your scries into draws.
Elegant. Oh, I know that.
It's a 6 CMC card, but he makes your commander even put in more work. Like, it's just a
Ancestral Recall on a draw is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, there's...
Too, being able to blink, like, again, like, it's the expensive cards are what allows your deck to even just launch off even further. I can't even say, like, to remove those.
Like, you could take out maybe, like, the Faramir's more of a flavor card for me, because I like to threaten the table of, like, yeah, don't swing at me or I'm coming at you next turn with a lot, right? I kind of like those, but yeah, there's just a lot that I really like in this deck. Like, even my, like, Preening Champion kind of things. I really like that ability of the two creatures for one.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But yeah, like, the only advice I would say is play it 2-3 more times and see what you hold in your hand.
Nothing. That's the problem. Everything. I just try to spit all these cards out. Like, Exile All Creatures is going to hurt me. You Winds have abandoned me. All right, good game.
That sounds like me.
Yeah.
Nothing. Is in my hand.
No, I really had a lot. You probably could do a little more removal and interaction, but I just, like I said, I really enjoyed building this one. I would love to hear other people's thoughts on, like, what they would put in, what direction they would have gone. This as an elf commander, I think, would just go silly.
Yeah. Ooh,
yeah.
Yeah, because, like, you get the mana to cast elves, you draw to get more elves, you're just spitting elves out all day.
You just would need a way to remove her Galadriel and bring her back in. That's the only thing. But then again, if you give your elves flash and you're just playing them on everyone else's turn, then it doesn't really matter.
Well, but blinking is easy and stuff, right? Like, that's the... You can always put in things like your Mist Meadow Mitch, which you're, like, one drop, like, blink spells. Even an unsummon, you know? You play a Llanowar Elf, you net 3 green, you unsummon Galadriel and replay Galadriel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll stop. I'll stop ranting now.
I'll give you, like, an A. I love it. Grading. New year, new Brian.
Good. I like it. Well, and that's the thing. I think you'd build a very fun version of this one too.
If it's only $40, in all honesty, I thought they were going to be more expensive than that. I might go and pick it up.
No, that's exactly it. $40, you get these unique cards, and I think that all of them are pretty good. Some of them don't fit in here as much. Like, you could probably cut this Arboreal Alliance, the tree folk card and stuff, but I just liked it. I want to be able to assemble my cool panorama on the table. Mm-hmm. And if that's wrong, flavor. I don't want to be right. But yeah, like, it's, I think you'll be able to, like, put together, like, a stronger version of this one, Brian. Cause, like, you have, like, your surplus of, like, Mother of Machines, I think you'll enjoy this one.
I could see Brian going the token route for this, just abusing that, you know, so all the enter the battlefield doublers and then nothing but, like, tokens. I can see him doing that.
You could put it's the landfall cat one that either puts a 1/1 counter on each creature you control or makes a 2/2 cat. That would also be great.
The enchantment, cost 3.
Felidar Retreat, Felidar Retreat, Cather's Crusade. With minimal upgrades, you could put this into a pretty crazy token deck. And counters.
I love tokens.
Counters. Bring your dice. It's going to get a little silly.
Yeah, right? I got to start making my own dice to be able to put them on my...
Yeah. But yeah, new year, new deck. That's where I'm at for now. I'll stop ranting about the deck. There we go. Hit my outro music. Again, let me know what you think of this deck, how you'd build it, what I'm missing. Are there any like essential creatures? Like, again, like to me, Spark Double has to be in the deck, right? What else do you think needs to be in this? And yeah, hit us up if you want to see any of our content, intothe99.com. Really, really great stuff, great articles, great people. Everything we do gets put up there. YouTube, we put out a lot of stuff, lots of gameplay. In the new year, we're going to be recording tons of new gameplay and stuff. So we're on a small holiday break, so bear with us. If you want to support us, like, share, subscribe, tell your friends. Tell your friends to come bully me in shorts reels, apparently. Because I don't know interactions of every card. Oh, boo-hoo. Yeah, people are not being nice about that one. Jeez. I get one card wrong. One time. One time. People never forget it.
It was how stern you were on it, though.
I'm a confident man. But yeah, so anyways, if you like this deck and there's some cards that are out of reach, like let's say you do want to put in a Tropical Island, hit up Abyss Proxy Shop. They're a great place. I just got my Alucin, actually, this morning in the mail. So, well, I checked the mail this morning. It didn't come Saturday morning mail. That'd be crazy. But I get special boy mail. My Alucin came. So I'm so excited to put that one together and be playing that one. It's going to be a blast. Abyss Proxy Shop makes crazy good quality stuff. So again, promo code IT99. Get yourself cool cards that you can't afford. And then you can go out and get, go out and support your LGS by having an $80,000 commander. And then they didn't make enough of those. And then, yeah, also come to Patreon. Come check it out. It's a cool place. Yeah, that's it. That's it. We're out of song. We're out of outro song. But we're still here. We're still here with the real ones.
And I think since we're in the new year, we want to give our shout outs to Whipsaw, Thunder. There's Calvin. Nope. I'm missing all these names. Let's load up Discord. Yeah, Strange Ronin. And also, we did get a new Tanner Cherry. Thank you very much. For joining us on Patreon, and we do have Calvinus. I guess new year, let's give a shout out to all our patrons. Thank you guys for the love, and
yeah, it's fun to chat with you guys. Yeah,
love you all.
I'll end it eventually,
one of these days.
I'm just leaving it roll. Their podcast players never skipping this episode. All right, okay, bye bye.
All right, later.
See ya.
Bye, guys.